The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Welcome to Radioactive Metal. This is Radioactive Metal, your source for news, views, tunes, and interviews. Here are your hosts, Snowy, Rock, Corrine, and Aaron.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to a very caring episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 840. That's a nice round number. And I'm Snowy White.
And this is Aaron. And dear listeners, this episode is brought to you by the fine folks at True Cold Coffee, TRVEKVLTCoffee.com, the hottest, blackest, most metal coffee in the world. Try to find a hotter, blacker coffee. You can't do it. It just can't be done. But check out the website. Get on the mailing list. If you get on the mailing list, you're going to know about fun stuff that's happening before anybody else does. Even before the socials a lot of times. Because Mr. Coffee Bean Oculta is always cooking up something new. It's a Monday, and this Friday I will be seeing my friend Sue and Di Gregorio. We'll be rehearsing for the show on Saturday. And I will be presenting her with a bag of Mjork Helvete. Mm-hmm. The dark roast from True Cult Coffee. So I can't wait. When we next talk, I'll be able to talk about how that gig went and, you know, the coffee exchange and all that sort of stuff.
Right.
So True Cult Coffee, TRVEKVLTCoffee.com. What's going on with you, Snowman?
Well, myself, it's been, like you said, it's a Monday, and it's been kind of a drabby Monday because it's been, for the last couple of days, you know, we've had on and off thunderstorms and not much in the way of sun. But, you know, with the nearby wildfires, which I think we spoke about last episode, about what's been happening up here. We definitely need it. We need the moisture. We got to, you know, like, the city's not burning down, you know.
Yeah.
But still, it's a little too close for comfort lately. But this rain and this blah that we've had the last couple of days is definitely going to help. So I'm not complaining. It is a little bit cool, but that's okay because I do have a some True Cavalts going here in my big ass Buffy the Vampire Slayer Sunnydale High mug here, so I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rock and roll. Before we kind of get on with the grunt, as my dad would say, a little bit of Radioactive Metal house cleaning here. We want to say horns up and happy birthday to Radioactive Metal alum, Mr. Chuck Billy from Testament. He celebrates his birthday today, so we want to say happy birthday to that. And today, as well as we speak, pretty interesting day. A very important day in the world of heavy metal. Today is the day, and I don't have the year. It's got to be about 1979, maybe into 1980. Today, Ronnie James Dio joined Black Sabbath.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like it, they made it official, did the press release or whatever, and then would eventually get into the studio for what would have been Heaven and Hell, I believe was the first rec, the first of the two records
I think so. And then was it after that
with
they
Mr.
weren't allowed
Dio.
to use the name Black Sabbath? Was that how that worked?
Well, Dio left,
Okay.
and they brought in Ian Gillan, and then all throughout the 80s, it was just Black Sabbath was basically the Tony Iommi project. You know, at least the latter 80s still made some fantastic records, though very, very underrated. And I think, yeah, Sharon did her shit, and legal red tape, all that mumbo jumbo, and they couldn't when Dio came back. I think they did the Dehumanizer album as Black Sabbath,
Okay.
but eventually win a lawsuit that, yeah, they had to change, like they couldn't use the Black Sabbath name anymore. And of course it became Heaven and Hell, and that was the one time, that I saw Sabbath. No, Sabbath came here with Ozzy as well years later. But the first time that I saw Sabbath was with Dio under the Heaven and Hell banner. So yeah, they were using that
I don't
for a
know.
while.
I just don't know how she does it. Like
No.
she wasn't even involved with Black Sabbath at that point.
Back then, yeah. Yes.
How does she get them to quit using the name? Like I would love to know more about that one.
I want to know, but then I don't want to know. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah,
I totally know what you
because
mean.
it's just you're curious,
Ignorance is
but
bliss.
then yeah, you just you because you're so tired of the shit, you're so tired of the drama and all the stuff that we could have seen and enjoyed and would have been enjoying if it wasn't for red tape bullshit drama, which all comes down to the dollar sign, I'm sure, which that kills everything. But yeah, like I said, it's a little drabby day here. I don't want to add to the drab, shall we say. So how you're doing? Well, the family's doing well, everything's cool down in your
Yeah.
neck of the woods.
Yep, man.
Right on. Good to hear. Good to hear. Because yeah, we got a pretty cool discussion in, pr probably a more overlooked album, shall we say? Maybe underrated. So kind of eager to get into all of that. But before we do, for the good folks at True Cavalt Coffee is our mandatory metal segment. And courtesy of the good folks at Hot Roller Records, a Slaughter Messiah recently dropped a new EP, Exercised to None. Gave it a spin. Great stuff. Good to see the boys in Slaughter Messiah back. So let's go with the title track for the once again for the good folks at True Cavalt Coffee. This is Exercised to None.
We're always on the lookout for fresh new talent. Check out this indie spotlight. Been very busy this week. Here's our metal fix.
That was in tonight's metal, or tonight's indie Spotlight, we went to Poland this time. Witchhound, so the title track from their Mountain Nose record. Very great stuff, great stuff. Facebook.com/witchhound official and witchhounddoom.bandcamp.com. Poland is one of those, like when we think of metal, we think of New York, we think of LA. We think of Toronto, even London, Japan, like Tokyo, like these are all very metal cities. Like the whole Scandinavia, is full of metal. Like Poland, I really think has an underrated scene. Like, Vader is immediately the band that comes to mind. But with Mr. Dario, like my very first co-host on the show, he's originally from Poland. And when I met him in high school, okay, and he introduced me to all of these great Polish bands and had to translate some of the band names for me and all that. But we spent a lot of time just hanging out like teenagers do, just cranking music, and I discovered like a whole whole new world of metal. And that's probably something, a couple of those bands that we should probably pay a little more attention to on this show. So check them out, Witchhound from Poland. Great stuff, great stuff. Well, my friend, what's going on?
Nothing. I checked my list. I didn't write a single thing down.
Okay.
It's been that kind of week, dude.
Just
Is th this is
okay.
this is show prep week, right? So everything going on right
Oh,
now
right.
is about the show. I was, I've been packing and getting all my, well, my instrument ready, my effects, all my gear. Dude, I was looking for cables, couldn't find them. Ordered a new set of cables, found the cables. Yeah, in the bag I looked in and I couldn't find them. Yeah, so it's been that kind of thing. Yeah. But then I'm gonna get into my parents probably like around, Wednesday or sometime. So I've been coordinating dinner. I'm like, I'm cooking for everybody Thursday night because that's the only night I really have available. Like, I'm cooking dinner for everybody Thursday night. We're having dinner this time. How many people am I cooking for? And my mom's like, well, there's people that are in and out. We don't know. We eat at this time, but then they'll reheat after that. And so I just sent out the text. I text my niece and nephews because everybody comes in and out of my parents' house. I'm like, hey, your crazy uncle's going to be in town on this day. I'm cooking dinner. Here's what we're having. If you can be there, great. If you want to reheat it later, that's fine too. But here's what I'm making. So we'll see who all shows up. It'll be a good time. And then
Right on, right on.
my sister's like, well, I can't have pasta. And I'm like, why? She's like, well, I need gluten free. I'm like, so I get gluten free pasta. She's like, well, what if other people don't like gluten free? I'm like, what if they don't know it's gluten free? I'm like, I'm not going to advertise it. Yeah, I seriously doubt anybody in the house has that advanced of a palate. They're like, oh my goodness, there's no gluten in this pasta. I seriously doubt that's going to happen at the table. I'm not concerned. So don't publish this though till at least Friday because I don't want anybody to know,
Okay.
until after they've had it on Thursday. That'll be important.
Okay, sounds good. We'll do that. See, growing up, there wouldn't even be these conversations, whether it was at the dinner table, like at our house or grandma and grandpa's house, like what was being made was what we were having,
Well, that's how I grew up, and that's what my mom would
Right.
tell me. She's like, "Well, I feel like I'm a short order cook. I'm making all sorts of stuff for everybody." I'm like, "Why?" She's like, "Well, because this person is eating this and this and this." I'm like, "Yeah, why?" Well, because I'm like, "No." I said, "What did you tell me?" And she looked at me and she started laughing. She's like, "I believe the phrase was eat it or wear it." I'm like, "Yes, that was the phrase. That's exactly what I was told." And so I ate it. And if I didn't like it, I could, I believe you also told me I could go out and catch my own with the cats,
There we go. Yeah, that's
So.
one of the things that dad said. Okay, don't want what I have. Okay, A&W's down the road.
Yeah.
Well, as I older, as I got older and job, my own money and all that. Sorry, Dad. Yeah, I hit A&W. I took your advice, but he always said, this is what I'm making. And then when you get a little bit older, okay, and it's the holiday time, so you're going to mom and dad's for Easter dinner, for Christmas and all that. I ate it. I didn't care. Whatever. The fact, you're feeding me, I'll take it. I not once did I ever, oh, I don't want this.
Well, see, and that's the thing.
Mom put all that work into it. Yeah.
Well, my mom's a great cook, and she's also adventurous. Like, if she say, "Hey, look, what about this?" She'll try new things, you know. And that's why she does look forward to when I come in, because I will come in and cook things that that if she tried to make it, nobody else would eat. And so then now she gets to try it, and everybody eats it, you know.
Right,
So that those plans are being made. You know, we'll see what goes. I am thinking, Snowy, I am kicking this idea around. I do not know if I'm going to do it or not, but I might take one of my portable recorders and talk to the various band members at this show,
okay,
for us to play
yeah.
back later. But like I said, I don't know. I feel like I'm taking so much stuff already.
Well,
Yeah.
you do you.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, but
We'll
really,
kind of leave it up to you.
that's all I got. I'm just getting ready for the week.
And that's enough. That's what we want to hear. We want to this all like our expression, metal fix over the last couple of years has gone from meaning what metal stuff we've been listening to, what concerts, and then as we got more hardcore and more punk, that became, and then you brought the whole geek life, geek fix in, and now we're talking about music related stuff. But yeah, it's all encompassing, like, so that's absolutely fantastic. I'm glad your show is coming up, and I can't wait to hear all about it. Speaking about like non-music related stuff, I just want to kick off my metal fix here with I don't remember if we talked about it on the show or off the air or whatever, but the Fall Guy movie adaptation from the 80s series. Okay, you saw the movie, you quite enjoyed it.
Oh, I loved it.
Well, last night was a good time. Like, we were going through, well, what do you want to watch with hanging out with the missus and all that. I said, here, let's try this. Aaron said it was really good, and we both loved the Fall Guy series, so let's try this. Oh my God. We got halfway through this pungent hunk of dung
Oh,
and
come
shut
on.
it off.
Oh,
I'm
come
sorry. No,
on.
they I'm sorry. I know you really dug it, and
Oh.
I really wanted to enjoy it. And it actually stayed on longer than we were intending, or longer than it should have. But no, I'm sorry. They took this and they turned the Fall Guy into a chick flick. Like, they really did. Yeah, they had the action sequences and all
They
that,
had
but
great
it
action
just,
sequences. Dude, they set a record
yeah.
with that cannon roll. Like, they weren't kidding when they said that they set a
Okay.
record for it. Like, they
Well, I'm
legit
sure.
set the record. Like, oh,
Okay.
I and
Okay.
well, so see, this just tells me how much of a Kiss fan you're not, because that like I Was Made for Loving You was front and center the entire way through that movie.
Yeah, there was about, from what I heard, okay, there was the original, and there was a couple other different versions, and those were really cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the most part, we shut it off once the Phil Collins 80s love ballad kicked on. I'm like, okay, that's enough.
Okay,
That's enough.
I can
I
see that.
can't do it. I can't. I'm sorry. I really wanted to like it. Okay, because like the Fall Guy, that was our thing as teens, as one, or at least
All right.
when we were kids.
Is it
But
on streaming?
Prime, yeah.
Okay. You then at least need to fast forward to the end credits, and watch who shows up at the end.
Oh, okay.
There's cameos at the end. It'll be at least do that if you're not going to watch the whole movie.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds good. So we decide to go. Okay. Well, let's slap another movie on. Okay. We decided on the latest Firestarter film. It's
I didn't
what, a
know there was
couple
another
years
one.
old now. Yeah. Like we had the early 80s adaptation with David Keith and a very young Drew
That's like Drew
Barrymore and all
Barrymore. That's
and all
one
that.
of her first roles that really knew her in outside of E.T.
Yeah. So yeah, and we dug that. Robin read the book. Mrs. Snowy read the book when she was younger and all that. So it's like, okay, you know what? We even have the soundtrack. I got the vinyl soundtrack right here in my hot little fists. I'm showing it up to nobody again. That seems to be my thing. But the soundtrack is amazing. Music by John Carpenter, Cody Carpenter, and Daniel Davies, who apparently Cody and Daniel have been childhood friends and all that. And Daniel Davies is the
Okay, do you mean for
son.
the newest one?
Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
I'm
For
like,
just
he wouldn't have
from
been
just a
more
couple
than a
years.
couple years old or even born when the
Yeah,
first one came out. I was a little
no.
confused there.
No, I picked up a couple of, about a year ago now, I guess. I picked up the latest Firestarter soundtrack because it's Carpenter, Carpenter, Davies that make fantastic music together. Okay, well, we sat down. Let's give this latest Firestarter, adaptation a chance. Yawn. I'm sorry. We just did not enjoy it at all. But once, but the music was absolutely fantastic. So I did good, for lack for, English is hard, with picking up the soundtrack and, kind of holding off on the movie. There was no real, need to run out and check the movie. And well, I was right. But I think tonight I'm gonna sit down and slap this vinyl on. So, yeah, a couple dud movies last night. Sorry,
That's a
dude.
bummer, man. So Zac Efron is in this remake. He
Yes, he's the
played the
dad.
dad. Wow.
Yeah, he played. Yeah. But yeah, it's just. It just didn't hit home. This weekend it didn't hit the record stores, but of course we had to hit up one of the bookstores, and I went to the music or the news rack and picked up for the first time. I can't remember the last time I picked up an issue of the British horror film magazine Scream.
Oh,
Okay, I
yeah, I've
don't
seen that.
remember. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like $20 an issue up here now,
Oh, wow.
because it is imported from England and all that. So these magazines can get kind of pricey. So some of these mags I have to kind of pick and choose, but I had to grab this one. Okay, the cover was the cover story was The Horror of Frankenstein from 1970.
Okay.
Okay. But a lot of the other interviews and articles were just stuff that I want to see. Big interview with Ari Lehman. Who Ari Lehman is, he was the first Jason in the first episode, or the first Friday the 13th,
Okay.
when the Jason came out of the lake, and grabbed the final girl and all that. The young kid that was all deformed and all done up in the Tom Savini makeup was Ari Lehman. And Lehman has since gone on, to convention appearances. He's built an entire legacy over 10 seconds, if that, of screen time. And of course, with that comes, he's in demand for smaller, low budget horror films and all that. But for what's most relevant to this show is his rock band, First Jason. And I remember years ago, like
Oh, that's great.
the first couple of years of this show, I caught wind of First Jason and all that, and we put the word out to management how we wanted to talk to him and all that. And I can't remember now why it never happened, and that's really too bad. It would have been a fantastic interview. But yeah, apart from Ari Lehman, there was a big article on the Sleepaway Camp classic film, and then the sequels all got worse and worse and all that. Excellent interview and article on Dee Wallace as well. So yeah, it was worth it. It was, like I said, you got to kind of pick and choose, these magazines, because they are kind of pretty pricey this day and age. And really, even as we were kids, okay, or teenagers at least, like the metal magazines, the ones from England were the good ones. Like I'm talking Metal Forces, Krang, Metal Hammer, those ones, had a heftier price tag because they were imported, and quite frankly, they kicked the holy hell out of Hit Parader and Circus, and like there's a lot of some of those magazines that only appeared for a couple of years and then kind of fizzled as they hopped on the whole hair thing and all that. But so yeah, all the good stuff all came from England, and it just, the more things change, you know what I mean? The more they stay the same, because in North America, like for horror film magazines, yeah, we have Rue Morgue here. If you're from Canada, the States has Horror Hound, but Fangoria magazine, like the classic Fangoria, now I can only find it on one of my shelves. Okay. And it's like $25 for a domestic magazine. Like, I'm sorry, here's some pound. Go sand. Go, here's some sand. Go pound it. Like, holy shit. So yeah, really stoked for that. Just last week, okay, ready to feel old? Last week marked the 50th anniversary of Jaws.
Didn't we talk about
It
that
was
last week?
it's
I could have sworn we talked
I
about that.
I might have said it was coming up. No, because it was you know what? I don't know.
Right, dude, because it was Friday was the
No.
20th anniversary or 50th anniversary. I've been texting everybody, here's the swim with bow-legged women.
Right. No, I don't think we talked about it on air.
Man. Yeah, like I
No.
went and bought a Jaws cup at my local music movie theater.
No, I don't think we spoke about it
Wow.
on air. Yeah, because what I did, because this would have been part of my metal fix, because what I did to commemorate the day, right at midnight, sat down and the needle hit this record, the Jaws soundtrack from John Williams. Once again, I'm holding it up to nobody. Now, this is not, unfortunately, no, this is not an original press from that classic soundtrack, but I'm not arguing. It's absolutely fantastic. And that's how I celebrated the 50th anniversary of Jaws.
That's
You know, and
fantastic.
it's supposed to be in August. It's supposed to be in the theaters. I've been check your local listings. I've been doing that. I haven't seen anything about
August 28th through
Jaws coming up.
September 3rd, I think.
Okay.
And if like if
Okay,
you go
well.
to well here in the States, Fandango.com, you can find it. Man, I could have sworn we talked about all this online, because I was saying that my or last week, I mean, because my the cool theater here, the little indie theater, the Terrace, is gonna play Jaws, and so I just
Okay.
gotta pick a night I'm gonna go see it. Because I'm super excited to see it. I've never seen it in the theater ever. Like never.
No.
No,
Well, good.
never, never. And I obviously I love the movie, you know.
Oh yeah, we've got it memorized.
Yeah.
We watch it together, and like maybe a couple times a year, and for the following week, all we do is quote it as we walk around the house. Like that's just kind of what we do. But regardless, yeah, happy anniversary, and I'm looking forward to seeing it in the theater, and that's still. Like the theme, like that main theme, that dun 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 dun,
Oh,
all that.
yeah.
It's not just, background music in a movie. Like it has it's its own thing. It's its own entity. Like you could never have seen Jaws and you hear that music and you know
Oh,
what it
everybody knows.
is.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody knows.
And I honestly don't know why. Like we have all these classic rock stations, like why isn't, and I'm sure there's some sort of, political red tape mumbo jumbo bullshit, but I don't know why these classic stations don't play, these themes like Star Wars and Jaws, Back
Well,
to the Future, like,
what's funny is we love them, right? And I think there's I think if they started doing it, more people than they realize would tune in. But like even a lot of times the musicians that play on these didn't like the music. You know, they felt like it was beneath them because it wasn't Mahler or Mozart or whoever. And it's like I don't think you understand what you're doing. You know, and because what's I think Coffee Bean Oculta is the one who posted this joke, but it was all symphonies are just 1800s cover bands, you know, and because we've gotten to this point where there's really not new classical music coming out because classical was technically a period, you had the Baroque period, the classical period, you know, all these different things, and so. You know, John Williams is part of I believe he's part of what's called the modern period. And you know, when I was in school in the 90s, one of the kids I was in school with brought in several of his soundtracks, and he's like, "No, I want to talk about John Williams as the modern composer. Like let's talk about what he's doing." And I thought it was brilliant because I love all his work, but nobody who took music seriously, quote unquote, took that seriously. It's essentially throwaway. I'm like, but the movie wouldn't be the movie without John Williams'
Oh
music,
yeah.
you know, dude. So while we're talking about Jaws, yeah, I'm assuming you've seen all four, or at the very least the first two.
I absolutely love the first two.
Dude, yes, yeah, that's
The
exactly where
other
I'm going.
two
That's where I'm headed.
Other two are just garbage.
So as a kid, I loved SeaWorld, right? We had because I grew up inland, and so we would go to a SeaWorld park, and I love SeaWorld. And when Jaws 3 came out, and I could watch it on TV, I watched it all the time, and I loved it because it was happening in SeaWorld. You've got the shark tunnels and all the stuff you can go in, this underwater stuff. I always wanted to do that, and so I've been watching going through the Jaws movies because they're all up on Peacock right now. So I'm like, watch the first one, fantastic. Watch the second one, fantastic. Watch the third one. Holy shit, how did I watch this as a kid? It's awful.
Because you were a kid. It's horrible.
It's so bad. It's so like it's like the people that made that one didn't watch the first two movies. Like, do you understand how to make a Jaws movie? Like, wow.
Apparently not.
Wow, is it terrible?
Oh,
And I can't
it's.
even watch the fourth one. I've seen the fourth one once and didn't understand it. I'm like, oh, is it really the sharks going after the old lady? Is that the plot here? And so,
Yeah, that's the thing I never understood. First of all, how does this shark that lives in the water, okay, know who the Brody family is? Okay. And even how does that shark even know the two sharks that they're supposed to be getting revenge for? Like sharks, don't travel in pods or
Yeah, no,
anything. Like, you
not at
know,
all.
like they're all total rogues. Like they wouldn't even know this other shark. And then the shark knows that Erin Brody is going to the Bahamas on her vacation and
Right.
somehow follows her.
It just gets dumber and dumber.
It just doesn't. The only redeeming factor in three and four was the sequence of Leah Thomas running around in her underwear. That was it.
I
Like
forgot about that. Okay.
that's the only.
So,
That's the only.
all
Yeah,
right. Maybe I'll
yeah.
try and get that
But
far. Yeah, I forgot about that part.
yeah,
But,
yeah. Then shut it off.
yeah. It's
But yeah.
just, dude, it's just, it's not good, you know? And it's funny because like shark movies and werewolf movies are the two movies I have to watch all the time, no matter how bad they are. I have to watch them at least once. Do you remember Deep Blue Sea? Because deep, I thought Deep
Yes,
Blue Sea was
fantastic.
it good. Yeah, I thought it was a fantastic movie. I'm like, this is one of the best homages to Jaws I think I'd ever seen. You know, and dude, I'm the weirdo. I even enjoy the Meg and the Meg 2. Have you seen those?
Oh, those are fantastic too.
Yeah, I mean, they're
Yeah.
cheesy. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and tell you that there's not a slight bit of cheese to it. But you know, I love the science of the fact that the Mariana Trench could be deeper than we realize and hiding prehistoric life. Like I you know,
Yeah.
I love that concept. But yeah, I absolutely love this. But anyway, sorry, I'll let you keep going.
Yeah. No, yeah, no. No, there are some creatures that have been on this planet, nature selected them like to go extinct, fine, okay. But I'm not crying any tears that there are no T-Rexes, there are no megalodons, there are no, you know, like I'm not. That's good. You had your time millions of years ago, 4 millions of years. You can stay extinct. That's fine. There are just some animals in this world that just, yeah. And megalodons were definitely one of them. Let's get on with some tunage here because our good friends in the Mighty Gruesome have dropped a new record, a Silent Echoes, available now from Relapse Records. Let's get into it. Once again, this is Gruesome with Silent Echoes.
Silence. Silence.
The Shining Wizards is the greatest wrestling podcast of all time. Don't believe me? Tune in and check us out. We laugh, we cry, we interview some of the greatest people in professional wrestling, and we have some of the greatest segments of all time, including everyone's favorite wrestling game show, Can You Beat That? We're live 6:50 p.m. East on Monday nights on all social media platforms, and we're with you wherever you go on every single streaming and podcasting platform as well. Check us out. Go over to ShiningWizards.com and join us for some wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
G'day guys, my name is Thomas, one half of the Brocast podcast. With our podcast, we go back and watch wrestling events from WWE, WWF, WCW, ECW, AEW, and many other wrestling promotions. You can check us out on Twitter at The Brocast, that's THEBROKAST, and you can also download all episodes on Apple Podcast, CastBox, Castro, and many other podcast apps.
What's up, everyone? When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure to check out Wrestling Night in Canada. If we're not recording another kick-ass podcast,
or playing in punk bands,
or recording kick-ass heavy metal albums,
then we're sitting back, we're grabbing a couple brews, and going over everything to do in the world of pro wrestling.
Because we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.
We're number one in violence.
Pro wrestler Brody King in AEW All Elite Wrestling recently raised some eyebrows, rustled some feathers, and actually, depending on where you're standing, actually did something that a lot of people are appreciating. But he put on display, dropped, you know, for the camera, his brand new Abolish ICE t-shirt, and it's on sale now, probably at ProWrestlingTees.com, with all proceeds going to the Heart Foundation, one of the charities that he supports. So I thought, you know what, that's really cool. I appreciate that. Good time to play his hardcore band God's Hate from their self-titled record that was number one, courtesy of the good folks at Closed Casket Activities. And then, and before that, like I said, First Jason, Ari Lehman's rock band, haven't played this band on this show in quite a while. So I figured, yeah, good time to do that as well. That was from the album Lord of the Lake. That was First Jason with Kill for Mother. Gee, I wonder what that song's about.
So good.
Yeah. So here we are. We're off and running. we have this ongoing series when, you know, and from the anniversary of the year that we're in, okay, sort of 1985 is 40 years old now. Hard to believe. So this year, kind of been, we've been kind of doing an album spotlight series where we've picked in a significant, you know, an impactful and important album from 1985 because it's celebrating its 40th anniversary. And we do a deep dive into that particular record. We've already done a number of them this year, as I said. And you wanted to jump in to the debut record from Faith No More,
yeah.
We Care a Lot. All right. You know, and this is actually a really good choice, okay? Because honestly, like, I knew the single, okay? But I was today years old when I finally gave this record a full spin.
Oh, same. I don't think I've ever listened to the first record.
Right. Okay. Because I'm gonna lose cool points here, okay? But yeah, I was one of those people, and now, okay, maybe I don't remember, maybe, you know, I read a live review of Faith No More from their first two records in like a Metal Hammer or a review of the record in Kerrang or whatever. It's I don't remember. It's just not coming to me. Okay. What I do remember is first discovering Faith No More with their third album, The Real Thing.
I was going to say, I knew nothing about this band until The Real Thing happened.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, and then in hindsight, you go back and, you know, you learn, and this is pre-internet, okay? You learn what you can, and you're kind of like, well, why the fuck didn't I know this band before? You know, even if I don't really dig the first two records or whatever, like, I should have at least heard of them. And it just wasn't registering. Like I said, yeah, I discovered Faith No More. It was the Power Hour, which is Canada's version of Headbangers Ball, I guess. And the From Out of Nowhere video debuted. And I just sat through it. And then I was just like, what the hell was that? That was awesome.
Okay, I was going to say, like, you didn't like that one? I'm like, that's a great song.
No. It was absolutely fantastic. I was blown away. I'm on the phone with, you know, with a buddy of mine who was a musical connoisseur like myself. I'm like, you saw it, right? Yeah, what the fuck? You know, so, yeah, that's, and then as, you know, you learn, you know, you go back, okay, they had these two other records, but I had, up until today, yes, I had heard the title track, I guess the first single, probably the only single, I'm not sure, but you know, from live clips of Faith No More, of current Faith No More, you know, like, you saw live clips, and then the magazine articles start coming out with the interviews and all that, and then, you know, in those articles and in those, you know, they start talking about their past records. And then, of course, what happens when a band's record takes off? Well, they go back into the back catalog and they reissue, you know, which I'm pretty sure what happened with We Care a Lot and Introduce Yourself. I think, you know, those albums got the reissue treatment.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well. But yeah. That's the first time, you know, that I'd even heard of Faith No More. And it's like, when you think about it as well, like, The Real Thing, you know, and we're going to get to this album soon, but it's just something I was thinking about. Was it last episode or maybe the one before that where we spoke about the whole third album theory?
Okay, yeah, I think we started talking about that last episode.
Yeah, okay, where you have it's, a more underground band. It's that third album that kind of either gave them the push further, or that record was a dud and you just that was it. Like Master of Puppets, Among the Living, Rain and Blood, these are all albums that push those bands to the next level, shall we say. And The Real Thing falls into that, because at least, Metallica, Anthrax, Slayer, Megadeth, like they had their following, until that third album really pushed them. Like, did Faith No More have any sort of audience? Like, I feel they were kind of, when going back and listening to this record, like they sounded like, a 80s pop, but kind of with a harder edge that just didn't that didn't find that bigger audience, didn't find the U2, the Depeche Mode, the that type of
Well,
80s pop.
here's what I think.
They never, they never found that audience.
I think this is the record that this is the record that bands like Ministry had in their collection, Stone Temple Pilots, the bands that we knew that became big names in the 90s. I want to say this is the record that inspired them, because this record is so
Oh, big
eclectic
influence.
that you could go different directions with it. And when we get in the tracks, like there's a song where I was listening to it, I'm like, is this New World Order by Ministry? And I'm like, no, it can't be, because that didn't come out till the 90s. This is 85. I'm like, what's going
That
on
in
here?
itself is like, wow.
Yeah, like this, I think this is one of those albums. And let's face it, some bands just kind of stay in the shadows. I mean, like they had their minute with Epic, and then what was the next one? It was Angel Dust. But by that point, then that's when like infighting started. Jim Martin, I know it was in and out, and honestly, for me, like Jim Martin makes the band.
Yeah,
Visually
he's like
at
Slash
least.
for Guns N' Roses.
Visually at least. And I so many people are gonna think this is blasphemy. I so many people are gonna be really pissed right now, but I'm not a big Mike Patton fan. I don't see the hype. I really don't, because I remember even at the time, like I was like, oh, Mike Patton, he's so great. I'm like, okay, I don't understand what you think's all that great, but sure. And then like when Mr. Bungle came out, I'm listening to Mr. Bungle, I'm like, yes, it wasn't doing anything for me. And I mean, and I know like that the bands that I love would smack me across the face and be like, what is wrong with you? You know? How do you not love the Raging Wrath of the Easter Bunny? I'm like, I don't know. You know, like I just don't. I'm sorry. You know, I feel like I have to apologize, but just I never got the hype with Mike Patton. But I think that when he joined, it added he added a new element to the front person, right? But then I think that also added volatility to the band, because he's a very eclectic spirit, we'll say.
Oh, okay.
You
That's
know?
fair. I can see that. Okay. Speaking about Patton joining, and all that, okay. There for the for the for decades, okay. Ever since that The Real Thing came out, and I don't remember how this got into my head. I think it was just a rumor going around at the time, but it today, okay, as I'm doing my own research, okay, there was a rumor going around, all right, and I believed it because I had no reason not to. Okay, that Chuck Mosley, okay, upon getting ousted from Faith No More, would go on to form Fine Young Cannibals. Did you remember them?
I do remember them, but I've never heard such rumor. Is that true?
You never heard this rumor? No. As it turns out, it was not. I had it in my head literally for decades. Okay. That I don't remember how the rumor started, how that got into my head.
Well, I can tell
but
you.
But it's
plausible, right? And it's plausible because you had bands like the New York Dolls. The front man became Buster Poindexter, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Night and day difference, right? Night and day difference. Mm-hmm. You had Johnny Rotten of the Sex Pistols forming Public Image Limited.
Yeah.
You had, was it Mick Jones of The Clash that went on to do Big Audio Dynamite? Like bands that were very different than what the bands that they started in were. So that's plausible. I could see that.
Yeah, but as it turned out, I was on drugs. I don't know. But...
Dude, it was the 90s. You had no way of like researching this stuff.
That's just it. Yeah, like I said.
Pre-internet. Yeah. And I think in the 90s they're only getting to like giving people actual credits on albums. I mean, think about the 60s. You know how many nameless musicians played on records that we're never going to know about? My buddy John from college and I were just talking about the fact that okay, complete tangent for a second. So Carole Kaye, the bass player who's played on, you know, hundreds of recordings that I absolutely love. She's nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I don't know if you heard, but she said no. She's like, no, I'm not going to accept this. And she wrote a great post. She's like, listen, what we did as studio musicians in the 60s was not an individual thing. It was a team sport. I would not be there without the team that I worked with. And I can respect her for that, man. She's one of the few that are left. She's 90. Most of them are dead.
Mm-hmm.
And to be 90 and just still like thinking about, you know, your friends, like that's how much they all meant to her. All those musicians meant to her. And that, man, that's what music really means. So I can completely respect that. But my buddy John and I were saying, I said, you know what, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame needs to be classy and go to her and be like, give us the list. Who are the musicians you play with? And induct them all at the same time with her. You know, like, like put them up. He's like, you're saying, he's like, that'd be like 37 people. I'm like, yeah, but we need to know. People need to know, you know, like they could dedicate an entire section of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to just studio musicians, you know, and once it starts coming forward. So, fuck, how did I get here from Faith No More? Because I swear to you, I had a point. I was going to tie it back.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're talking about how, like, I just didn't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So,
yeah, the whole rumor.
There we go. Yeah, so, but back to that rumor. So it's entirely plausible with the way that things were hidden that, you know, Chuck Mosley could have been in Fine Young Cannibals. You know, that especially for that era. Like, that is plausible. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't blame you at all. Because, I mean, you know, how many times... Like I was telling somebody the other day, like I believe that you know, Kiss played on their own records. You know, I was that gullible. I had no idea that they brought in studio musicians on later records. You know, the early ones they played, but later records, I had no idea.
Right. Right. You know. Yeah, because as long as Paul Stanley put his vocals down.
Yep, you had no idea.
You know. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're gonna dive right into this record right now. First song, side one, the title track, We Care a Lot. Like, I guess that was the only hit, if you even want to call it that. You know, which with that song, like, you could kind of hear, okay, this is like the template, the blueprint or whatever for songs, you know, like Epic later on down the line.
Well, I'm glad you brought that out, because I think this song became a hit after Epic was a hit, right? I don't think this was a hit
right
when it came out,
yeah,
because it was even re-released on the second record. It, you know, it and re-recorded, and I listened to both, and I like the original recording better. But the real reason I think that people know about this song is, do you remember the movie Biodome with Pauly Shore?
No.
Two knuckleheads get locked in a biodome experiment and trash the place. And then
they're trying to fix it. I remember it's a thing. I never saw it.
All right, so they're trying to fix it.
Pauly Shore
while,
is just
not... while they're dancing around trying to fix it, they're dancing around a We Care a Lot. You know. So I think that movie gave this song a second life, and the fact that what you already pointed out is this has the same beat as Epic.
Now, I have another take on this song.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. When Little Snowy was just a wee one, okay, she discovered the Care Bears.
Oh, I do remember the Care Bears.
And you remember the Care Bears, right? Where they came from, Care-a-Lot. Okay, that was the name of the magical city that the Care Bears came from. And I just, when I hear this song, okay, I go back to those times. And my little Snowy, she's in her early 30s, still wears Care Bear t-shirts, has a Care Bear backpack and all that. She still loves this whole Care Bear thing. I absolutely love it. Okay. But I don't know. I hear this song and it takes me back to that, because Care-a-Lot was such a big thing, and I'm trying to think back to some of the songs from the TV show and the movies and all that. And I'm trying to remember, like, is We Care-a-Lot, and I'm not saying that, you know, Faith No More heard something from the Care Bears and said, oh, we got to rip that off. I'm not saying that. I'm just in my head and all that. I'm just trying to remember if, like, the Care Bears, you know, had, if the words We Care a Lot, and I think they were.
Yeah, I feel like they were part of the.
Now we get together with my daughter every Saturday. You know, yeah. We go to the bookstore, we go to the record store, we go out for lunch, and all that. I'm going to play We Care a Lot for her. Okay. And then say, does this remind you of the Care Bears at all? Like the chorus? I think it's going to be interesting. Great track. It starts the album off great.
Well, and I don't think you're that far off base, because there's a lot of pop culture references through this album. And I mean, these guys, they're smart asses. So you're a smart ass in 1985. Of course you're going to say something about the Care Bears, because by this point, the Care Bears are everywhere in 1985.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Next song was The Jungle.
This song did nothing for me. I was like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah. I kind of feel like it was one of those songs that just, let's get it on there. Like, there was a couple songs on here where I'm kind of like, okay, they're good, but they just kind of like, let's get it on the record in order to, you know, to fill it out, to make it a complete LP. And I think that was one of them.
Yeah, I was listening to this album as I was driving, and totally didn't even realize that I missed the second song, because I was on the third song. I'm like, oh, what's this song called? And it's Mark Bowen. And I saw it was track three. I'm like, what was track two? Because, you know, We Care a Lot's track one. I'm like, oh, how did I miss this? Mm-hmm. So I went back and I put it on. I'm like, oh, yeah. I dig some of the crazy reverse sound effects and stuff that they were doing. But other than that, I'm like, it did nothing for me. It was a very forgettable song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And then Mark Bowen itself, like, yeah, I just played it just, you know, an hour or two ago, and I'm having a hard time. Maybe it's just my memory, but just remembering anything about the song is kind of a challenge.
Well, this is the song that I think the Stone Temple Pilots heard and said, this is what we're going to be.
Oh, okay.
Because that's the thing is like these songs are such an eclectic collection of songs. Like they're kind of held together loosely, but like when I heard this song, I'm like, yeah, this reminds me of Stone Temple Pilots. And Stone Temple Pilots and Ministry are nowhere near the same band. Stone Temple Pilots and Faith No More aren't even close to the same band. But I'm like, this sounds like Stone Temple Pilots. And this is one of those things where I'm like, this is why I feel like this album gave us so many more bands because everything resonated with a different person, you know?
Yeah, I definitely think Nine Inch Nails would have been one of those bands. Like Trent Reznor has this album in his collection.
I can see that, yeah.
So, hey, Jim,
Dude, I love this. Absolutely
this is
loved it.
the instrumental, right?
Yeah, it's about a minute and 15 seconds long, roughly. Absolutely love this one.
And as I recall, that was the first song in which, maybe I'm getting it mixed up with one of the others, where the guitar kind of took the came to the front. Like they had the opening guitar riffs.
Well, this was all
Am I
guitar. This is just all solo
right?
guitar. It was
Okay.
just Mark, or I'm sorry, not
Yeah.
Mark, Jim messing around, Jim Martin.
Right. So that's probably why it was
Yeah.
called Jim.
And
Like this is not a guitar heavy album, you know? Like too
it's not a guitar
too
heavy
many.
album, but it's a heavy guitar album. Like when you hear the guitar, most of the time it is some chunky riffage. But on this
Yeah.
one,
It's just not as much. Like this isn't Kill 'Em All.
no, but this particular song felt like Jim's answer to Randy Rhoads' D. This felt like
Okay.
him like paying homage to D. I heard this, I'm like, whoa, what's this? I absolutely loved it. And I don't know, I had it in my mind that Jim Martin wasn't in the band till the Real Thing album, and I'm like, oh no, he was on this record. I'm like, how did I miss that?
Well, you can't know everything.
I try, you
True
know.
enough. Yeah, we try as we might. Yes.
We try
Yes.
hard.
Yeah. Track five, this is the one that I said, okay, I'm digging this song. No, okay, I don't know what it was. Like this is gonna be one of those songs like what we do, like when Mrs. Snowy like and I were driving around in the car, the music we listen to is stuff from when we were younger, rock and pop and metal from the 70s and the 80s. Okay, like Epic is one of those songs that, you know, we play. We don't play albums, like just kind of individual songs, got the phone plugged into the car and all that. I think this track, Why Do You Bother? The next time we're out and about, I'm going to introduce this song to her, and it just might make, you know, our quasi-regular rotation. There's just so many songs out there. So I really dug this one, and I think,
Same. I
like I
absolutely
said.
love this song. I especially love the bass tones on this song. By the time I was done with this album, like I've never given Billy Gold much of a look as a bass player, and he would make the cover of Bass Player magazine, you know, quite often, honestly. And I never really paid attention. And this album, like, okay, I need to go follow everything that Billy's played on now because this is really great. I love the sound. But this is the first track where I wrote down that all the keyboards sound the same. It sounds like it's just the same keyboard part in every song.
Yeah, there's really okay, because maybe that's why it's not until later on. One of the tracks, track number eight, we'll get to that soon enough. That's when I was hit by the keyboards, and I'm like, wow, okay, this is awesome because of the keys. Maybe that's because I finally noticed it. Because, like you said, the key's really kind of same old, samey, shall we say? Because words are hard.
Whole way
You
through
know?
it, yeah.
No, that's fair. Again, Greed, song number six.
Love the bass and drum groove. Loved it, but again, like I have my notice, these keyboards are getting monotonous. The keys are really killing me, but man, the bass drum groove that starts this off, dude, is so great. Like, wow, is this great? And honestly, like when I listen to the sounds, like this is where like I feel like this is one of those albums that all these young musicians got, and they all took a different thing from it and all went a different direction. Like this is the seed that planted a field of musicians, you know? Because there's so many great things here.
This definitely, obviously, this predates hard alternative by almost 10 years. Okay. But yeah, you can hear it, you know. And like we said, it definitely had a big influence on a lot of those artists. Pills for Breakfast. Okay, that the name of that song. Okay, and it was the instrumental. Okay, as I recall, the title, what a gut punch that is. You know what I mean? And that's 'cause like what a strong title that is, and probably without having any lyrics, you know what the song is about, if that makes any sense. You know what they're trying to convey there, especially as a pro wrestling fan. Okay, the wrestlers, because like people, now I don't want to, I'm not going to get on a tangent here, but people, oh, all that shit is fake and all that. Okay, it's not fake, it's predetermined. Okay, but you have to get though to the beginning of the match to that predetermined end. And it's not fake. People get really hurt. And then to deal with the pain, a lot of the wrestlers, you know, maybe not so much anymore today because we finally wisened up to it. But a lot of wrestlers, they went to the painkillers. And it really, they get addicted. And then it ended up taking a lot of pro wrestlers' lives much too soon. So when I saw the track Pills for Breakfast, I was like, holy shit. You know, and as far as, you know, as far as instrumentals goes, good song. You know,
This is the
didn't blow me
song.
away.
Oh, so it did me. Dude, this is the
Okay.
song that I thought was, I'm like, is this New World Order? Like, I'm like, how do I know this song? And my I when I just kept listening, I'm like, holy shit, this sounds just like New World Order. I'm like, Ministry must have ripped this off. This is another one of the songs that illustrates my point that this album gave us so much other music. I mean, dude, the guitars on this are so fucking heavy. So heavy. Like, this is just great, you know? So, this one really did it for me. Like, I just love this song.
I feel I'm not doing some of these songs justice because I did just give it the one spin because I wanted it to be fresh in my head. So I only gave it, you know, one. I definitely think at some point, you know, from what you're saying, like there's some songs I'm like, yeah, it didn't do nothing for me. But I think you're gonna. What you're saying is going to make me come around a little bit more into some of this stuff. This is probably one of those records that's going to have to grow on you. You know, like the first time you hear it, it's like, okay, yeah, it's got some good stuff. Second time, oh, I never noticed that. Third time, this is actually pretty good. Fourth time, wow. You know, I'm thinking this is one of those records that's going to that I'm gonna end up doing this for. What I will say right out of the gate, as the worm turns, track number eight, This is fantastic. This is my favorite song off of this record. And, you know, we're bagging on the keys and all that, but this is when I really noticed it. And like the lead keys could have been like something from Goblin, you know, or a John Carpenter movie from the 80s or something like that. That's the vibe. That's kind of what I got from that. And I'm walking away from this song saying, oh, this is fantastic. Oh, we will definitely be cranking this in the car, you know, and I will definitely be giving this song, you know, extra, you know, a few more spins as well. I really dug it. Like I said, maybe, but what you were saying about the keys, you know, maybe that's when I just kind of first noticed what that they were there. You know, or at least that prominent.
Well, by this point, right. I was really tired of the keys, but I still enjoyed this song. It started out great, but then the keys got monotonous again in a hurry for me.
Okay, no, that's fair.
Yeah, so it was one of those ones where I just the keys just really grated on me. It really grated on me after a while. So yeah.
All right. We're starting to get down to the last couple tracks here. Hey, Arabian Disco. Okay, I love the title to this one, and I just get the feeling like this was the most metallic song. Like this is, you know, this was their heaviest, most metal song. In parentheses, and like, so yeah, it was a nice follow up for the previous track. Makes for a good 1-2 punch and all that. What about you?
So I don't remember the song. I have no notes for it. And I even remember like getting to the last song. I'm like, huh, I don't remember what Arabian Disco was. So I need to go back and listen to it again, but it just did not grab me.
All right. That's fair because I'm going to say the same with the final track. I've got no real recollection, no real opinion. I got to give it another spin. Well, see, I think that's what I got to do with this whole record.
Yeah, well, so on the final track, New Beginnings here, the bass guitar again gets me, right? And just the bass guitar really grabbed me the entire way through this. Like, because I believe that Billy and, oh, what's the drummer's name? Oh, my
Borden,
goodness.
Mike Borden.
Thank you, Mike Borden. I want to say that those two grew up together and started playing together. Like, they've like, played together all their lives kind of thing, like as kids.
Okay, yeah.
And so you can really hear that is the way these two lock in. I mean, you start with something like on We Care a Lot that's really simple, but they are dead locked in with each other, right? But then by the time you get to this song, it's like, wow, what is going on? This song was so poppy, but my notes here were is that it reminded me of The Smiths and Midnight Oil in one song.
Okay.
You know? And that's the thing is like, you don't expect this track from the rest of this album. That's just how eclectic the collection is on this album. You know, like they're all over the place.
Well, like I said, this is probably going to be one of those records that's, it's going to take a couple more spins and it's going to be like, and I'm going to do that. So it's going to be, you know, I'm probably going to touch on this record again, in, you know, a future metal fix in the very near future. Do you have anything else?
No. I do have some other notes. Dude, let's talk about the cover real quick. Did you look at the cover for this one?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? And it's just like the logo and the symbols and...
Well, but the symbol, dude, until today... Like, literally, until today, I thought it was the Star of David.
Oh, okay.
I was looking it up, trying to figure out, like, why they used the Star of David. And I'm like, why is nobody talking about him using the Star of David on this album? And then I looked, it's not the Star of David, it's two squares. But it's so close. And the way they put it on the cloth like that, like that's the kind of cloth that would go down like a pulpit or an altar in a church. Like, and since I've seen this, I thought that that was like a sacred cloth from a church, from a Jewish church. Like I did. I thought it was from a synagogue because I thought that was the Star of David for all these years. No, huh? No. Apparently it was just me.
Yeah. And I didn't really have much recollection of the album cover until today, where I was kind of reminded of like, oh yeah, okay. And even now as we speak, even though I have the cassette for Introduce Yourself down in the vaults and all that, I haven't listened to that in literally decades. And I don't even really remember that album cover very much as well. Like I just, so many albums, you know, over the years that I have on cassette down, like I said, down in the vaults and all that, I don't even remember what I have anymore. And some of the songs, you know, on various different albums, or even like all of the songs. Like I know I have CDs where I was reshelving. I got a new rack for my CDs and all that, and going through them all, it's like, holy shit, I totally forgot I have this album. And I couldn't name you a single song or what anything on this album sounds like. You know, I don't know. Maybe I got to go through all my CDs and albums like that. I should just get rid of, or at least give them a spin now. Who knows? I probably got, you know, a buried treasure, you know, that I've had all this time that I just haven't given a spin to. So something to think about. All of our other, here's some homework for all of our listeners, you know, do a deep dive into your own collection. You know, maybe that stuff that's, you know, on the bottom rack, give that a spin. Who knows? Maybe you got one of those albums. And maybe We Care a Lot, give this record another spin for our older listeners and for the youngins. You're probably discovering this for the first time, pretty much, you know, like I did for 90%. Of it, and I hope it's a record that you really get behind. I guess that's it. I don't really have any music to go, you know, after we do a discussion. I don't really have anything with regards to this. So how can people get a hold of us?
Well, dear Snowman, radioactivemetal.org. All the episodes, past, present, and future, can be found there. At RadMetal666 on Instagram, Facebook.com/RadMetal on Facebook. RadMetal666 at gmail.com to drop us a line. Anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find us, whether it is the Apple Podcast app, whatever Google does, Spreaker, Stitcher, you name it, we're there. You can also find us on Spotify. And the reason we're on Spotify is thanks to the fine folks of the Shiny Wizards Network, shinywizardsnetwork.com, whole host of just fun shows, great people. Go check them out. Because you're going to dig it, including you can also hear A Wrestling Night in Canada, which is this show, just with more wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thing. Basically, if you enjoyed my quasi-rant about painkillers in the pro wrestling world, you're going to want to check out our sister show, Wrestling Night in Canada, where I talk all things pro wrestling with our good buddies, Ducky and Matt. To get us on out of here, okay, I challenged myself once again. Last week, we went out with a track from the mid-80s British band Oral. And I said, chances are there's no other podcast that have played this band, you know, in the last 10 years or whatever. Like, it's just not something, you know, that a lot of podcasts are going to think about. I challenged myself again this week, and I came up with Harlot's Web to go out on
I love
from
that name.
there. Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. The song Push Comes to Shove from their demo record. Now, Harlot's Web, mid-80s Canadian band. They never really took off, but they were probably most known for their contribution to the Moose Molten Metal compilation, which is a couple volumes of unsigned Canadian bands, just to kind of, you know, a comp and to get them out there. And I discovered the Moose Molten Metal comp. It's like, okay, yeah, I remember this. I remember these records. I remember these bands. I remember reading about them in Battalion magazine from back in the day, and, you know, going through them. And it's like, Harlot's Web. Let's go with that. Yeah, so in the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been a very caring episode of Radioactive Metal. I'm Snowy White.
And this is Aaron.
Signing off.